Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I just saw this courtesy of Kawakami on Twitter, and I'd like to run it by everybody in the room and see how this grabs you. The Warriors originally were not going to have a shoot-around this morning, which is standard for home games the last few seasons, given the veteran status of the team and wanting to give them rest and all of that, especially I think at this time of year. Steve Kerr has even recently talked about how little practice they actually do this time of year. So normally no shoot around, but after getting a request from player leadership to have a shoot around, Steve Kerr put one on the schedule and the team had a shoot around earlier today.
Okay.
So I imagine player leadership, I mean, that must mean Steph Dre and Jimmy. I don't know who else that would mean. Maybe come on. I don't know. But player leadership said, we need to get our butts into the gym today and get ready for this game tonight. How's that grab you?
It grabs me as them trying to check every box and, you know, paying extreme attention to detail. And I also think that shoot around is as much about being together than it is like Steph Curry needs to work on his shot. So,
right.
You know, Steph Curry, get the shots up and, you know, Buddy Hield and the rest of it. Yeah, get some shots up and, you know, break a sweat. But I do think a lot of it is being there together.
I wonder. I can't tell you that that's not a part of it. And obviously that is to a degree. But also, it's got to be some strategy, something tactical about this idea. And the veterans who are all dinged up foregoing their rest so that everyone can come do this tells me that, there's something that they wanted to address going into this game from a strategy standpoint, from a tactical standpoint. How's it grab you, Grady?
My mind immediately goes to 2023 Game 7 versus Sacramento when yep. Steph told everybody, like, if you don't want to, you're not part of this, don't get on the bus. Because shoot around feels more like, as Dibs was saying, just the guys being together than like a practice and like gearing up for an opponent. Kind of feels more like there's a message that they want everyone on the team to hear.
Yeah. I find that very interesting that the players... Yeah. The tired old players called Steve and said, get everybody in the gym.
Right. I mean, let's show up and let's treat this the way that it should be treated, which this is not just a garden variety game in the regular season. This is win or stay home. It's not win or go home. It's win or stay home. And you don't want to stay home.
No.
You want to win and get on a plane. You don't want to win and stay home. That would mean you have to play on Friday.
Well, I tell you what I like from it, and I guess maybe, Grandy, this is a part of what you're sort of indicating with what you said. If you think of Game 7 in Sacramento, I very much want, and I'm sure they will, not that they didn't on Sunday, but you have to treat this. I don't care about the phrase that gets everybody going. Must win.
Right.
You have to treat this as something that is absolutely critical. You have to win tonight. And if that's part of the messaging, I don't know that like just because you're Brandon Pajemski or Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody, I don't think that's lost on you. I don't think they don't know that, but maybe there's something to, right? Steph Curry's like, my thumb hurts. Jimmy's like, my leg hurts. Draymond's like, my neck hurts. And we want you all here right now.
Right.
This is critical.
And the thing about it, Mark, is they're coming off a game where they shot 54% from the floor and 46% from three. So it's not like, guys, we had a bad, bad night. Let's get in the gym and shake off the cobwebs.
Right.
They shot it great. They played mostly great. Yet you look at it and it's, guys, we need to do everything we can to make sure come 7 o'clock, we're ready for everything.
But what bothered them about the game on Sunday? I would argue, like, here's what I saw. Moses Moody lost his minutes in the second half because they didn't feel like he was ready to dive on a ball. I saw Draymond get very, very frustrated with Quentin Post at one point because Quentin ended up, and I can't even remember if it was Kawhi or James Harden, but it was one of those brilliant plays where the old vet is like, dude, if you're going to stand there, watch this. Whoop, brr, whistle, yeah. Foul. Like, dude, you're too close. You're crowding them too much, and Draymond got very upset. And what happened? Quentin only got 10 minutes in the game and never scored. And so I wonder if there's also like, hey, guys, like you have to have unbelievable attention to detail, full focus, full effort, leave everything out there for 48 minutes. Kind of an attitude tonight. And if they do that, by the way, they're the better team. They should win.
They should. And maybe the shoot-around is as much about Quentin and Moses and Buddy, because Moses only shot four times, didn't make a three. Quentin shot once in 10 minutes and didn't make his three. And Buddy was 2 of 6 from three. So maybe the shoot-around is aimed at guys who actually may need a little work on their shot.
Or what if they know Moses isn't playing?
And they want to get Kuminga sharp
and
get him ready.
And they would like to get him mind, body, and spirit and strategy in place.
It's very possible.
Possible.
Yeah. And to your point about must win, you know I bristle at the phrase unless it truly is. But if you want to look at what this is and you lose, then you have to, Friday's a true must win. And even if you do win that, the current odds to win the Western Conference, OKC is minus 150. They are odds on favorite. And they had the best regular season by point differential in the history of the association. They're going to be rested, and they won 68 games. So if even if you lose tonight and you win Friday, you're going to be heavy, heavy underdogs to knock off a 68-win one seed like that. So, yeah, you want to avoid playing them. You want to avoid being out. But you also want to avoid playing them in the 1-8 series.
You have to win tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll avoid the phrase because I don't want to make you angry.
No, you That's can
not,
use
I,
it.
I know, but you, I don't. Yeah. But I don't want to because there's multiple ways to sort of like receive that phrase.
Right.
And so I'll use different words. You have to win tonight.
Well, look at the level of urgency that they're showing.
Yes,
they're showing up for a shoot around, which is not totally unheard of, but it's rare. It's not usual, and they're doing it because they see the urgency in tonight. So, yeah, without using phraseology, you could just explain things like, well, Jimmy Butler played 48 minutes on Sunday of 53, and he'll probably play about the same amount tonight.
I hope his leg is up for it. Like, I mean, he was really hurt.
Yeah.
He was really hurt. I was listening to Slater this morning describe Jimmy at his locker after the game, and it was like, dude, he's putting clothes on going like, ah, ow, ah. Like, I mean, this is not something that I would think 48 hours later is like, okay, it's all good. Like, it probably hurts. And I know, lots of treatment. Pro athlete, $55 million. He's going to work his way through it. I have full confidence. But, like, that's got to work. Like, his leg has got to work.
And the leg doesn't care how much he makes. And this is where, like, his thigh is not thinking,
But
we're making $55 million, so I'm going to feel better.
No, you know what I mean, though. He's going to press through.
No doubt.
He's going to press through.
But when you have a Charlie horse like that, it takes time. I mean, we've all had Charlie horses. It hurts, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ricardo and Benicia. Hey, Ricardo, thanks for waiting. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, sir, how you doing, boys?
Yo.
I know. So obviously, just truer words have never been said. I would much rather play Houston in the first round because you don't really want to play with the potential MVP of the league. But key things about tonight's game, I will say, I would want Jaren Jackson Jr. to get into foul trouble. That's definitely one important key. And also Desmond Bane is also a vital spot for the Grizzlies. So try and keep him at bay and also try and play the percentage with John Morant. Obviously, he's not really that sharp of a three-point shooter, but yeah, just play the percentage. I do want Kuminga to play a couple more minutes as well. And obviously, we don't know how it's going to end up tonight. Obviously, I am a little nervous, just like everybody else. But yeah, it's key. I would much rather play an inexperienced Houston squad in the first round on Sunday than play OKC.
Yeah, Ricardo, thanks. It's a totally good call. I happen to think, though, you're underselling it. I wouldn't use those words. Like, I'd rather play Houston. No, you have to. You have to. This is just not a realistic scenario if they lose tonight. And I hate the word realistic. I can't stand the word realistic.
Well, all you have to do is look at the history of ones versus eights, and it's only happened five times. And that one time that happened with the Warriors involved, and we mentioned it earlier, that was a fraudulent 67-win Dallas Maverick team. Yeah. This OKC 68-win team doesn't feel very fluky.
No, they're not fraudulent at all. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. So glad you're with us. 888-957-9570-707 just texted in, why wouldn't Moses Moody be playing tonight? We got to keep remembering. People just jumping into your cars and stuff.
Yep.
Moses has been downgraded to questionable with back spasms. So we don't know his status tonight. There was no injury report for the Warriors as of last night, but today there is. And so Moody is on it. We don't know, probably won't know for at least another couple hours. Might be Warriors live by the time we get that news, but stay with us. If we hear anything, we will absolutely pass it along. But back to our call from Ricardo. It's not even just what you said, which is that Oklahoma City is not fluky and you know, they're very good and they're going to be tough to beat. If you get no break and no practice time and you lose four in a row at home against lesser competition, again, I want to say that again. Did you hear what Eric Hasseltine said to us about Memphis since the All-Star break? Okay.
Yep.
One win against a team with a winning record.
Say it slower with your deep voice.
And it was the Pistons. One win.
Thank you.
Against a good team. And even that team's like an okay good team, like a kind of good team. Detroit's actually really struggled here in the last 6 weeks or so. Memphis is not good right now. 0-10 since January against the top 9 seeds in the West. 0-10. You can't go out there with what's on the line tonight and make it 1-10. You can't do that.
No, you can't. You're allowed to use your phrase.
It's within the rules.
Yeah, but I don't.
You can't do it.
I don't think it happens, but you have to go out there and play it. And I will offer up a little bit of good news because, you know, I get excited for this. The referee assignments.
Oh, I did see this, but to me, they were mostly just names. Zach Zarba's not doing it.
No, and you do have a veteran crew. Josh Tiven is your crew chief, and Bill Kennedy, 30 years as a ref.
All right, Bill.
On the crew, and then Nick Butchert is also on there. But when you look at the stats,
yeah.
Josh Tiven, when he's the chief, you have the home team winning at a 58% clip.
Okay.
And fouls called on the road team, more than 51%. So in his history this year, his games have leaned toward home team success and road team fouls.
Yes, yes.
And the other crew members are very similar in their numbers.
All the fouls should be on Memphis.
All
tonight.
Of them.
All of them. Them's the rules. I don't make them.
59% actually win percentage for the home team with Josh Tiven, 34 games. He was the chief. And the home team won 59% of the time.
All right, Josh,
so
let's go.
You know,
don't stop letting them grab Steph off the ball.
Right.
Don't do it. It's illegal. It's a foul. Set the tone right away. Do not let them grab Steph Curry when he doesn't have the ball. I don't know why this is so hard. Your job to be looking at it.
Well, Eric Hasseltine with a great comment about Draymond and the screens he sets.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to set this screen and move, and you're not going to call it. Now I'm going to move more. Now I'm going to move more. Now I'm going to move even more. And then finally, he's going to make him call it.
Totally.
And that's what we have in the NFL with holding, right?
And that's what we have with the way people defend Steph. And I have no problem with that approach. What I have a problem with is the officials at times letting that tone get set. It's what happened when the Houston Rockets were here a week and a half ago. You just let him beat the hell out of the guy.
Hey, Dibs, can you read that number to me again? The officials record for home teams?
Josh Tiven, the crew chief, this year home team wins 58.8% of the time.
And generally speaking, across the NBA, the home team wins about 62% of the time. 62. So that actually means that the official favors the road team.
Who likes roadies?
62%. I wonder.
Who doesn't like roadie? I like a roadie.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's
across the history of the NBA, the home team wins 62% of the time.
So what's
the
up history with this year?
Yeah, what's up with your boy Josh?
The whole NBA.
Why is he ape fan history so much? What's up with your boy Josh?
The history of just this season, you're saying?
No.
The whole league.
History of the NBA.
Forever.
Well, I could try to find this year.
You find this year because I was looking at this before. I don't think that home teams have been as successful this year as they have in days gone by. And if you want to talk about the history of the association, you got some spots where teams are playing four games and four nights all on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
That would lean home heavy. So I appreciate, though. And he jumps in to make sure he can refute the research that I do.
I mean,
that's a good supportive team.
It's an important number. Accuracy matters. I mean, if you're going to make the point that this guy Josh loves home teams and he actually hates them, I want to know.
Right.
I don't know that that's the case, but I want to know if that's the case.
And it's nice to put some context to it.
Yeah. Come on, Josh. Loosen up. Be popular once in a while. Stop being such a contrarian.
I'll just add one more name, and then you can go to the phones.
Okay.
And you're going to cringe when I throw it out because Mark Davis is the official.
The guy that owns the Raiders?
No.
Oh.
This is the guy who has a home team winning percentage of 48. Point two, and authored some Warrior games this year that have infuriated fans.
Such as?
Mark Davis. Remember the exact.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for four lines with all the data you need and four free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's four lines for $25 a line plus four free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Games, oh, okay. But
I thought you had that.
Nope. 48.2 for Mark Davis.
Hater.
Exactly.
That's somebody who just, like, you know what I mean? He shows up to... He's like when Bonds was, when people were throwing syringes at him or whatever. Like, just like enjoys being booed.
Yeah, you wish you had Zarba. 66.7% home team percentage.
That's an official right there. That's my man. Where's that guy tonight?
Yeah, he's not
reffing. Is he in Orlando?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Hey, let's go to Jordan in the city. Hi, Jordan. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So, one thing I wanted to point out was I think that if the Warriors lose this game, I think they could probably... I have no problem with playing the Mavericks or Kings, but the problem I do have is that they're going to play the OKC, but the record isn't against us. I think we beat them. I think we beat them a couple times, so I think we might have a chance. And Steph Curry and Draymond and Jimmy have experience, and Jimmy Butler knows exactly how it feels to come from the playoffs. I mean, to come from the play-in tournament all the way to play against one of the best teams. And I want to play the Rockets, but one thing I don't want is they're probably going to run the same thing that they did last time they played them, and it's probably just going to lock down Steph Curry. So Steph Curry's got to learn how to fight through that.
Jordan, this is a wonderful call. How old are you, Jordan?
I'm 10 years old.
You're 10 years old. And were you just like on your way home from school or something?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You keep doing that work. You forget homework and go study box scores, okay? That's how you get ahead in life.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Thank you for calling. This is Jordan breaking down Dubs basketball.
Love it.
That's pretty good.
Very strong. Some strong takes. And positive, too, about the feelings. But yeah. He's a little worried about what would lie ahead if they take on Houston again.
Yeah, I don't know that game a week and a half ago has anything to do with what would happen next. You know, I hear a lot of people, and I don't want to do a whole Houston breakdown because I think it's just bad juju. But if they do end up playing Houston, I know where we're going to go for the next 3 days. Oh, my God, they're young and they're athletic and they're tall. What do we do about that? Well, I'd argue that most games that the Warriors play, they are less athletic and shorter than who they're playing. That's, you know what I mean?
Almost every time.
Right. Yep. They've locked Giannis up 3 weeks ago. Like, locked his butt up. He is tall, and he is athletic. Very, very much so. So, like, it's not like the Warriors aren't used to combating this. They're not going to do it every single night, but they're used to combating this. And they've had success against Houston this year, more often than not.
Depends on how you want to look at it, yeah. Because with Jimmy Butler, they're 0-1. And
1-1.
Oh, because they did beat him the one time.
They did. They beat him in Houston.
And yeah, that was February 13th. Steph had 27 in that one. And then the other game that he played without Jimmy in December, Steph had 19, and they lost. But they were 3-2 against Houston on the year. So, and again, it's a different team now with Jimmy Butler. But if I'm Houston and Ime Udoka and I do face the Warriors, I'm going to try the exact same blueprint.
Yep, and good luck with that in the playoffs where every eyeball is much wider. I just don't, like, and again.
And I do think that there's a sense of, you know, the collision course that the league would love to have, and that would be Lakers-Warriors.
Of course, so, if you're an NBA conspiracy theorist, Lakers and Warriors in four.
Right.
But yeah, I don't want to get into it yet.
No. It's premature.
It's bad juju, but I'm not worried about the Houston Rockets, if you're going to compare this to any concern that would go into A, either playing Friday night, or B, the OKC Thunder. It's not even close. It's not even close. So I love that Jordan feels like the Warriors can succeed out of Friday night. I don't want to disagree with a 10-year-old, but I disagree with a 10-year-old.
Man.
The Warriors cannot succeed out of Friday night, in my opinion. So you have got to win the basketball game that is going to start in 3 hours. You have to win it.
How old does the caller have to be for you to come down their road? Like, if he was 13, would you have just clapped back at him?
Well, 13 is a terrible age, so I probably would have done that without even waiting for the take.
Okay.
13-year-olds probably should live on Mars for a couple of years before they come back.
Right now, you're safe, though. You don't have a 13-year-old.
Correct.
You've had to go through there, you can speak to it.
I don't know that they've come out the other side yet, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe it's the teen on the back half of the number.
It might be.
But
it's a bad word.
Yeah.
A bad word.
And I don't think you'll ever have three teens at the same time, because by the time your oldest is... By the time the little guy is 13,
I will literally miss by I think 3 weeks.
Man, that's a bullet dodged.
The 18-year-old turns 20 3 weeks before the 11-year-old turns 13.
Man, that's classic.
Yeah, yeah. But he's 20 going on 9, so it's not going to help.
And we know he's not listening, so.
Is he?
Shoot your shot, it's all you got.
Same, buddy.
Whatever, yeah.
Anyway. How old does someone have to be? Any age. I come down anybody's road.
Well, you didn't, so.
No.
Ten is clearly too young.
No, but he was great. I come down his road if he said something like, I love the refs. I mean, if he'd said that, then we're going to have words.
Just remember the Dibber when you watch the game tonight and you feel like that they're getting the whistle, because I think that they're going to get a good whistle
tonight.
They
better get the whistle.